Hosanna, a Fellowship of Christians.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see all of you here. Wish I could see your smiles, but it's good to see your masks. Man, what a beautiful weekend. Beautiful. It doesn't feel much like Christmas outside, but our aim is to make it feel a little bit more like Christmas in here anyway. I would like to give us a few minutes, actually, before we dive into singing songs of worship to our God, to begin to just actually settle in to this moment here before we start. You know, Jesus makes things very understandable for us. His teachings are relatable. They are simple to understand because he knows that we are prone to take things and to misinterpret and read into things and to go off into rabbit trails and to attach all kinds of rules and regulations and interpretations that weren't intended to be there. We're just prone to do that. So Jesus makes things simple for us. He is a master teacher. For example, he gives us two laws. He says there's two laws that we have to remember. That's it, right? You know what they are, right? Yeah. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the other is to love your neighbor, love others. So love God, love your neighbor. Love God, love others. That's what he breaks it down to, right? And likewise, he is a master of demonstrating and teaching us what it means to live in the present, right? To live in the moment, right now, today, and just today. Matthew 6, he lists all of the things not to worry about. Don't worry about food, don't worry about clothes, don't worry about food and water and clothes. God knows that you need them. So here's his simple truth. His solution is, first of all, seek God, and two, don't worry. That was it. Seek God, and he'll provide these things for you, and don't worry about tomorrow. And so I want to take a moment for us to do that right now, actually, before we begin. So I'm going to ask, if you want to close your eyes, you can. You don't have to. But let's just let go of and shake off anything that you're carrying on your shoulders right now or that is weighing heavy on your mind. Maybe it's a burden from yesterday. Maybe it's anxiety about tomorrow. But recognize where we are right now in the midst of this service, or if you're watching from home, become aware of this moment of God's presence right here, right now, with God and with his people. And if there be anything that would distract you from this moment, let's try to lay it aside. Seek God. Don't worry about tomorrow.
Today I will praise.
Let's watch this video together. Whatever you're feeling in the moment, give yourself permission to feel that. Do you ever feel like you have to give yourself permission to have a feeling? It might be sadness, it might be hope, it might be joy. You know, sometimes we feel guilty about our feelings. You know, I'm a Christ follower, I shouldn't be sad. Or I shouldn't feel joy because there's so much hurt and injustice in the world. Give yourself permission to feel whatever you're feeling. You know, the lighting of the candle on the third Sunday is associated with the joy that Jesus' birth brings. And you can feel sort of a transition in this time of Advent, can't you? I mean the first couple of weeks it was a sense of longing, you know, of waiting. And then there's a shift that happens to more of an anticipation of something wonderful coming. And that's why the candle of joy is pink instead of purple. A little bit of interesting trivia there, which I just learned this morning, thanks to Tony. So, but what I would like us to do is take another minute and pray for joy to be found and experienced in situations for yourself, for loved ones, for our world. Let's just take a moment and just pray for that. Let's read this prayer together that's on the wall. Let's read. Jesus, who brings joy where there is sorrow and happiness where there is despair, we thank you for your great mission of joy, which we particularly remember at Christmas. We light this candle as a reminder of the joy you long for each of us to experience. We offer up our prayers for your joy to resound through each and every soul. Amen. Let's all sing together Amazing Grace, but with different lyrics. Do you know that you can sing Amazing Grace with joy behind it? I mean, it's a slower song. It's not upbeat and fast, but there's a lot of joy in there. And there's certainly a lot of joy in the words to this version of Amazing Grace as well. Let's sing together. This holy child is born to us, for all the world to see. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, to God all glory be. This cup will travel through.
grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing, meet you wherever you are. Sing that again. 'Cause there is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing, meet you wherever.
We're done. I can't play this song without a capo, and it just broke. Hey, let's sing it anyway. I'll just wing it. What?
Connected. Okay, thanks for doing that. gosh, doesn't it feel so good to just, we're no longer dead. We're alive. Yes, oh my gosh, yes. And it's good to see all of you folks this morning as well. We welcome you to Hosanna like we do every week. I'm up here to give you just one announcement this morning. We are going to bless 25 families within the life of our Hosanna family here. And we're going to bless them with gift cards for groceries. So we're going to be taking up a second offering next week. We did this at Thanksgiving. There'll be another offering bucket in the back along with the regular offering bucket. And if you would, come prepared to give that next Sunday. Also, everything you need to know is on our online bulletin, so check that out when you get a chance. And with that, I'm done, and I'm going to invite Tony and Joanne to come up. Tony has a couple more announcements he wants to share with us this morning, but come on up, you guys.
Get my mask off.
Thanks, Deb. You know, that moment with Shad was like symbolic for the whole year, wasn't it? It was like this. Something broke. We're done. Oh, what the heck. Let's do it anyway.
Yes.
We'll find a way. It's like, isn't that 2020 the whole year?
If that's what we learned this year, yes. Next year's going to be a great year. Yes.
Anyway, two quick announcements. One is, we all sent a nice gift to our friends in Bulgaria the other day.
Yes.
We decided not to try to do the gathering of the shoeboxes this year with viruses attached to things or collecting more money from you when you, we've just been so grateful that you're keeping the operating fund in such good shape and everything.
Right.
So it's a complicated story, but we ended up with some money in the spring that we may or may not be able to keep, but we decided to trust God and give a portion of it away. So they're doing that because our friends in Bulgaria are distributing shoeboxes to very poor people in that region of southern Bulgaria and sharing the love of Jesus with it, and we want to support that.
Yeah.
They're also creating a ministry training center there in Kurdjli, Bulgaria, where people can come and get trained in how to share the gospel in their own villages and towns and go out and do that. So they've got quite a bit of needs and opportunities, and we just shared a little bit with that. And I wanted to let you know about that.
Yes.
The other announcement concerns our Christmas Eve services. A couple weeks ago, we got up here and said, hey, we're having two services this year. And then the virus kept getting out of control when the state has new guidelines. And so what we've thought would be the wise thing to do would be to do only the one service. We just recognize there aren't going to be, despite the fact that we'll want to, there aren't going
to
be as many families gathering for Christmas Eve or particularly come into room gatherings like this. I'm amazed at how many of you are here this morning. Bless
yes.
you. Thankful
yes.
for everybody who's available online. We honor the different choices
yes.
that you make.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're all still one church.
We are. And
we
the
are.
Fact that we can do this online is an example of that. Oh, well, something broke. No, let's put the camera up. We got this thing. God invented the internet. Let's use it. And here we are. So we're all gathered together. We will do that at Christmas for our Christmas Eve service. We will have only the service on December 24, 6:38. If we have more, we will be very careful as we are. And so you
right.
guys have been doing fabulous with
yes.
that, by the way. Very careful about how we gather.
Yeah.
But we will gather on Christmas Eve, but we will live stream it and we will record it. So everybody who cannot be here, if you want to gather with your families, it's called I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Yep.
We chose that theme on purpose because some of us are not going to be literally home for Christmas, but we can still come home.
Yes.
And this matters. So anyway, we want to make that available to you. Done with announcements. I did something yesterday that I haven't done in a long time. Carol and I went to the mall. I knew there were such things existed. It was a fascinating experiment watching people at the mall on a Saturday and you know, looking to buy stuff. My question was, where do you buy joy? Anyone answer that one for me? I mean, it is kind of funny. It's amazing what you can buy these days if you pay attention to store signs. I hadn't seen a number of these store signs for a while. Again, I'm an online kind of guy, so I was just amazed what was out there. Apparently, you can buy justice. There it is. If you're a girl. With no cynicism, no wisecracks. I had a few here, and I deleted them anyway. Here, this is one. You can get peace with your pizza.
Yeah, you like that. And
I have eaten there more than once. So I'm very peaceful with my pizza. This store is apparently selling love. It's the love store. I love this. I'm driving through Western Ohio one time, and I saw a sign, a billboard, that offered sofa and love for $399. And I had two thoughts. One was, that's a really good price for a sofa. And the second was, and love comes free with it. So you can go to the furniture store. Can you buy joy? Can you buy joy too? I didn't see a store that had those selling joy. But then I remembered, yes, of course you can buy joy in a candy bar.
Yay! My pizza.
Because sometimes you feel like a nut. So my apologies to everybody online, but everybody here this morning, there are sprinklings of almond joys around the building and around the rooms. And feel free to grab. And if there isn't one at your seat or your table, find one someplace else. Steal it out of Dave Whitmer's hand. Do whatever you need to do. And enjoy some almond joys. If you're home, treat yourself to something that you have there. So if you bake cookies, you can buy joy to help you do that. Baker's joy. You can dab yourself of a little bit of joy to smell better. What does joy smell like? Well, you can find out for a low, low price. People spend billions of dollars to convince us that joy is yours. If you've only got the bucks to buy a new car or new clothes or a nice vacation or a new home, it's all it takes, right? Well, a survey last year published in Forbes magazine asked people what brings them joy. Survey says something a little surprising, that people tend to experience more joy as they age. Has that been your experience?
Yes.
Even though, and this is kind of counterintuitive, in aging we sometimes lose some of the capabilities that we thought gave us joy when we were younger. Can't do everything we used to do. That was what was joyful. But then as we get older, we actually find more joy, even though we don't have as much of that. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the survey said, well, specifically, what brings you joy? And of course, the answers, as you might expect, were the things that you cannot buy. Mm-hmm. When asked what was your most joyful moment, respondents said things like the birth of my children and laughing with friends, returning home safely each day. Yay, I made it. My service dog. Mm-hmm. R&R on a warm summer day, smelling the air right after it rains in the spring. You know what that's like, don't you?
Yeah. Oh.
My grandchildren and flowers.
Yes.
The day I married my husband 49 years ago. Mm. Pretty cool, huh? And again, not terribly surprising.
Right. So this morning, we too have some questions to ask about joy. Here's an important one. Are you feeling joyful? Now, we know what the right answer is, because it's that time of year, isn't it? Are you feeling joyful? Well, of course I am. This is the time of year when every day is merry and bright, and every heart is happy and light, with a smile on every face and Christmas carols, like joy to the world spilling from everyone's lips, right?
I didn't see that at the mall last night.
But after all, joy, really, it is at the heart of the Christmas story, isn't it? Pregnant Mary singing her ecstatic Magnificat in the presence of joyful cousin Elizabeth. And 6 months later, angels exuberantly singing and announcing to shepherds the wondrous news that her baby had been born in Bethlehem and that he was their long-awaited Messiah. Yep, all of this is true. Joy is definitely at the heart of Christmas. And yet, while all of this is still true this Christmas, is it real for us this Christmas? Are we truly full of joy this year? Well, our theme for this Advent season is from the beloved Christmas song. We sang it earlier from O Holy Night. The weary world rejoices, right? That we are weary people in a weary world is very true, isn't it? 2020 has been a year of incredible
limitations and loss, and those limitations and losses continue. We are weary indeed, but unlike the carol, it doesn't appear that there's much rejoicing going on in our weary world. Have you noticed that most folks don't use the word joy very much? Even at Christmas, and even Christians. It's not a word. We say happy, right? But we don't always say joy or joyful. And yeah, we're weary people in a weary world, and weary people in a weary world long for joy. But most folks are willing to settle for some happiness even if they have to buy it. So if you're among the majority of people not feeling very joyful this Christmas, the next question is, what would it take for you to become joyful? The usual response to that question is to think about something outside of ourselves, usually that we can buy, but still there are things that are free. But we have a tendency to think of something outside of ourselves that we would like to have, right? Or something we need to have so that we can have some joy. Well, this morning we want to notice that knee-jerk reaction, that unconscious feeling that when, oh, there's something missing, there's joy missing in me, so I've got to go out here and find something in order to have some joy. See, there's an underlying assumption there that's whispering to us that, you know, when it feels like joy's missing inside us, that hole can only be filled by something outside of us. We want to notice that because there's another question that we can ask, and is that what joy really is?
Well, I have to confess I was not particularly feeling terribly joyful when I started my work of preparing for this message. Been distracted by stuff at work and some stuff going on elsewhere. It's just been one of those weeks where I feel like I'm trying the best I can and I can't keep up with it all. You know, anyone have that experience? 2 weeks ago, I came up here and spoke about hope, and hope I can do most of the time. Last week, Rick McKinney reminded us of God's peace, present in this moment and forever. And thanks, Rick, if you're online here. But joy, well, maybe it depends on what we mean by that. And Joanna's hinting at this a bit. So here's another question for us in our list of questions. What is joy anyway? It's even better than we may have thought. First, joy is a gift, and a gift already given. It's in the Bible, fruit of the Spirit. Paul told the Galatians, is what? Love, joy, right there it is. Part of the fruit of the Spirit. How do we get that fruit? From the Spirit of Christ living in us. When the Spirit comes to live in us, joy comes along. It's kind of like inviting somebody with a personality full of joy to come live with you. You know, it kind of gets infectious, isn't it? And it's absolutely free of charge. Nothing to do but to receive the gift. No scrunching of the face. No pursuing joy like we wear ourselves out sometimes pursuing happiness.
Can it be a puppy or a dog instead of a person?
Happiness is a warm puppy.
Or a cat.
Or a cat. I'm trying to find a dog right now. So if a dog wants an exuberant happy dog wants to come live with me, that would be great.
A cat is a symbol of all that's wrong with the world. We used to have a cat.
No, don't. Those of you at home, do not turn off your TV.
We used to have a cat. The cat liked me. It was not mutual.
Anyway.
We spend our time out there. We wear ourselves out sometimes pursuing happiness, which seems to be pretty elusive most of the time. We get it, and then it slips through our fingers again. This is really cool. The biblical word, the Greek word for joy, has the same root as the Greek word for grace. Chara, charis. Those are the two words. Yeah. In other words, from a biblical perspective, we have joy because of grace.
Yes.
And grace is that free stuff that God gives us, free, undeserved, unearned love. God's free mercy, compassion. It's just the stuff that God pours out on us. The joy is part of the gift. We don't have to beg him for it. We don't have to do something to earn it. It's already given.
Yes.
Now, saying that is wonderful news. unless you were like I was earlier this week and not feeling joyful. And then it can feel shaming. Mm-hmm. Well, if it's given to me, then what's wrong with me if I'm feeling depressed? Mm-hmm. How about this? What if I'm grieving?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does that mean that I'm doing something wrong spiritually? Not living in joy. Now, here's the second bit of good news. And many of you already know this, but it's helpful to remind ourselves because we do a lot of self-shaming as well. Joy will influence how we process our feelings, but joy itself is not a feeling.
Yep.
As Christians, we have the full range of emotions that all humans experience. And my goodness, this year we've had the full range of emotions.
Yeah,
probably sometimes at high volume that all humans experience.
Yep.
And as Sean reminded us a few moments ago, this is beautiful, Sean.
Yes.
We need to give ourselves permission to feel our feelings.
Yes.
And some of them are not going to feel very happy. And appropriately so at times. Appropriately so. There's an awful lot of things out there that are not right and not good. And some of you are dealing with an awful lot of...
Right.
I was going to say the word crap. Can you say that from the pulpit? in your lives. It's okay to feel your feelings, but here's the good news. Joy is deeper than the feelings.
Yes.
It will influence how we process our feelings, but it's solid. It's something stable, deep in our soul. And yes, of course, sometimes joy bursts out of us. There's another good biblical word for that experience. In English, it's translated a little bit tamely, actually. The word is gladness. Aren't you glad to hear that? In its original meaning, gladness meant exuberant joy. It's a couple of biblical examples. It's what Mary experienced when the angel visited her.
Mm-hmm.
Is what the followers of Jesus experienced on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit first came to live in them. Acts 2:46, as they broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. It sounds too tame when translated in English like that. They were exuberant.
Yes.
Whoa, everything had changed. What was that?
Yes.
And they're living in that. But exuberance comes and goes, like our feelings. But joy remains in us. Underneath the emotions, beyond the circumstances, steadying us, giving us strength. Nehemiah put it that way, the joy of the Lord is my strength, he said. In other words, here's another thing about joy, it is strong.
Yes.
So there's one more word that might help us here, and then we'll be done our vocabulary lesson for the day. The word Mary. Now, this word is now used pretty much only for Christmas, isn't it? It's another one of those old English words. Doesn't get very used very much. We don't say, I had a merry time at work today. Or, merry dentist appointment. but we still say Merry Christmas, and it's good that we do. Because Mary, you might not know this, and I did not until Friday, comes from the same old English root as mighty.
Yes.
Seriously. Let's explain something finally to me. Robin Hood and his
merry men
were not happy-go-lucky jokesters. But the word was that they were strong and mighty men.
Yes.
I never knew that. I just thought it was because they wore tights or something. I don't know. They're always presented as a little bit the joke, and maybe they were. But it's the same thing with the God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. That we wish rest to in the old Christmas carol. The merry gentlemen are not just happy people, but this is the strong and mighty. So Mary is the word for the strength of joy.
Yeah.
So yes, it's a much better thing to wish people a merry Christmas than a merely happy one.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Awesome.
Yes. Mighty Christmas. Yeah. Yes, I like that.
We could use one of those.
Yes. So learning more about what joy really is actually releases a bit of joy, doesn't it? Yes. And learning what joy really is leads us to another question, an important one. Is God joyful? 2 weeks ago, when he was speaking about hope, Tony asked us whether we imagined God being hopeful. He said that because most people don't think God is hopeful, so they have trouble believing God actually has hope to give. But of course, Tony then showed us how God is and has always been full of hope. and how God is and always will offer that hope to us. Well, guess what? The same thing applies to joy. I don't think we need to say much about whether most people imagine God as a joyful God. They don't. Neither did I for much of my Christian journey. In our last adult class, we read through David Benner's book, Surrender to Love, which begins with yet another question. Imagine God thinking about you. What do you assume God feels? God feels when you come to mind. What do you assume God feels when you come to mind? And again, we know the right answer in our heads, right? Of course, God feels love and joy toward us. But deep inside, most don't imagine God looking at us like this. I like emojis. This, and the name of this emoji is, I want to make sure I get this right. It is the beaming face with smiling eyes emoji. I looked up, who knew? They had a whole list and they're all very specific. Many people do not, when they imagine God looking at them, they do not imagine God's face beaming with smiling eyes at them. Or they usually don't imagine this. That one's self-explanatory. God looking with happy, loving eyes. No. Most people imagine God's face looks more like this. Or this. Very disappointed. Very angry. Most people, they would answer that question, you know, imagining a God with anything but a joy-filled face. And yet Benner assures us, regardless of what you've come to believe about God based on your life experience, the truth is that when God thinks of you, love swells in his heart and a smile comes to his face. Now, how can Benner say that with such confidence? Because what we celebrate at Christmas is that God became flesh. God became one of us in Jesus to show us who God really is. Jesus' face is the face of God. And it is a face full of joy. The writer of the book of Hebrews says of Jesus, okay, and he or she is quoting a prophecy from Psalms. The Christ, Jesus, so God, even your God, has poured out more gladness, mighty, exuberant, overwhelming joy. God has poured out more gladness upon you than on anyone else. So truly, Jesus was and is the most joyful being who has ever lived, human and angelic combined. And again, when we think of God, when we think of Jesus, we're not often given those images, are we? When you go, most movies about Jesus, it's this solemn person who seems angry all the time, or at least just a bit perturbed or annoyed. Like, why aren't you guys getting this? No. Jesus was and is the most joyful being who has ever lived, human or angelic combined. And he shows us what it looks like to live joyfully in this world. Just think about the many times Jesus experienced and shared joy, like choosing to do his first miracle at a wedding feast. A wedding feast is a place of joy. And at that wedding feast, Jesus made lots of wine from water after the original supply of wine had run out. Interesting. That first miracle, even before he started his public ministry, was full of joy. And he was happy to do it once he got over that his mother asked him to do it. But that's another story.
Mom.
Right. Or like, what about the time children were brought to Jesus so that he could bless them? And his grinchy disciples they tried to keep those little pests away from Jesus. But Jesus told them to quit that. Let the children come to me because they're what the kingdom of heaven looks like. What it looks looks like? It looks like people of all ages who have childlike hearts and playful, joyful spirits. And, you know, we read that story, and appropriately, you know, we see that this shows how much Jesus loves children. But we often miss the fact that the children actually wanted to be near Jesus. Children really don't clamor to be with grouchy, unhappy adults, do they? Jesus must have been smiling. He must have been full of the very joy that he was telling the disciples that the children epitomized.
Can I
no.
interrupt?
No.
I got first pass in the PowerPoint this week, so I picked these images. But what was interesting is finding images of Jesus looking joyful.
Uh-huh.
Because of that perception out there, almost all the images, he's scowling or he's looking, even with the kids.
Yes.
Jesus looks mean in most of the photos.
Yeah.
They're not photos. So anyway.
Well, it's like now I'm flashing back to my childhood, and I was in a family where my mother forced us to kiss all of our relatives, you know, at holiday and family events. And most of that was fine because most of them were great. They smiled at us. They seemed to like us. But there was this one uncle, oh my gosh, please don't make me kiss him. It was painful. And she was like, you go over and you kiss your uncle. Yeah, okay. So, yeah. And that's the illustration of they would not have been doing that with Jesus if Jesus was like,
I couldn't
uncle.
Even find one from the Why? Wedding of Cana that had Jesus' face in it where Jesus wasn't looking like, you miserable low-life people. Okay, I'll do a miracle for you. So I did the happy couple instead.
Oh my gosh. Or, okay, what about the time Jesus sent out 72 disciples? I'm getting back on track, Tony. Just trying to prove. I think you have it now, but here's another one. Jesus is a joyful Jesus. He sent out 72 disciples, and they came back rejoicing in this powerful ministry that they had done. And Jesus tells them something that we usually hear with, you know, very angry boys. I don't think so. I think he was overjoyed with them. And this is what he told them. Don't rejoice because the spirits submit to you. Rejoice instead, your names are written in heaven. Wow. In other words, what you've done is worthy of joy, but rejoice even more in who you are. Rejoice in your relationship with the God who loves you and is overjoyed over you and is wanting to do this through you. And the scripture goes on. At that very moment, it says, Jesus overflowed with joy from the Holy Spirit. And he said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and shown them to babies. Indeed, Father, this brings you happiness or joy. It's the word. This brings you joy. This is a joy is overflowing in all over Jesus' ministry. But did you catch that? He's overflowing with joy from the Holy Spirit. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. So here's the Father, Son, and Spirit. Did you catch that? The entire Trinity was overflowing with joy right along with Jesus' 72 joyful friends. And listen, this was before the cross. This was before the resurrection. So what kind of joy do you think is happening right now? Because Jesus' work is complete. We miss it. And we miss the strength, like Tony was talking about, we miss the strength to live this life because we don't choose joy. Joy is all over Jesus' teaching. His three great parables in Luke 15 say it all. Jesus told these parables because, it says in Scripture, all the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus to listen to him. So there's a mixed crowd. There's the Pharisees, there's the scribes, you know, and then there's those sinners. And they're all kind of mixed up in the crowd. The Pharisees and legal experts were grumbling. That's what they chose. They were saying, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. They say it out loud in front of the sinners. Now, think frowny and angry face emojis on all of their faces. So Jesus turns his beaming face with smiling eyes toward them. And he describes the kingdom of heaven. And he says, you know, the kingdom of heaven, it's really like a shepherd who rejoices in finding one lost sheep. He places it on his shoulders and he returns home in joy and he invites all of his neighbors to celebrate with him. And you know, frowny face Pharisees, it's like a woman. Oh, dear Lord, it's like a woman. It's like a woman who finds the valuable coin that she lost and rejoices with all of her neighbors. And it's like a father who's lost both of his sons. The younger one he lost to unrighteousness in the world, and the older one he lost to self-righteousness right there at home. But when the watching father sees the younger one coming home, he is filled with uncontrollable joy. He abandons all propriety. He doesn't care what anybody thinks of him. And he runs to meet and hug and kiss and welcome his younger son home. The same home where his older brother is as judgmental as the listening Pharisees. The joyful father invites all who will come, including the older son. Come, we're going to have a grand celebration. Kill a cat, fatted cat. We are going to celebrate this one who was lost is found. The one who was dead is alive again. This is who God is, Jesus is saying. And the kingdom of God is the celebration. It's that celebration. Everyone's invited to the party. Won't you join us? Of course, the listening Pharisees didn't. They decided to try to snuff out all of this joy by snuffing out Jesus' life. And of course, Jesus was not happy about it. He had the full range of human emotions, didn't he? In fact, he experienced the full depths of limitation and loss, the full depths of pain and suffering that's possible for all human beings. And yet, we're told that when he died in agony, he did it for the sake of never-ending joy. Hebrews 12:2, God's joy and our joy. He endured the cross, ignoring the shame, for the sake of the joy that was laid out in front of him. It's all joy. Angels singing all the way to him dying on a cross, his ministry, his person, everything he was showing us about the kingdom of God. It's all joy, no matter what feelings are coming and going. And then 3 days later, with indescribable joy, Jesus rose alive from the grave, and he offered the fullness of his joy to his friends. He said in John 15, I told you this, so what? So that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. And you know what? He still makes that same offer to all of his friends today. And you know, everyone in this room and out there, and so many out there, are Jesus' friends. We can be full of joy because we already have the risen one in us. We can be joyful too.
Particularly those of us knowing best. We had lots of rules when I was growing up in my church, and some of which made sense to me when I got older, but one of them has still never made sense to me. Don't laugh in church. One of the things I love about his attitude, you got to never stop laughing.
It's true. We often laugh inappropriately, too.
Yeah. And sometimes, yes, I know you're laughing at me and not with me. Right? Yeah. I love that you laugh so much.
Again. No.
Yes, we can be joyful too. If you're in Christ, the Spirit of Christ is in us, and the Spirit of Christ is joyful. And that's why joy is so deeply connected to Christmas.
Yes.
Because that's when the joyful one entered into our story.
Yes.
It's not that there was no joy before Jesus was born, but in Jesus, joy was now incarnate in flesh and blood. Joy is now it's not something ethereal or ephemeral that comes and goes, but it's possible for everyone who receives him, even in the midst of whatever the world throws at us. And because of Christ, joy is more real than the world's circumstances. and more permanent
yes.
even than earthly life. Because joy even escorts us to the life beyond, which is full of joy. And includes more than harps and clouds. But we don't have to wait for heaven to experience the fullness of joy.
Yeah.
Remember what Jesus said. Joanne just read it to us a little bit ago. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. What a great life goal, to become as joyful as Jesus is.
Yeah.
But for some, joy is left unopened, like a Christmas gift that remains under the tree.
Yeah.
So here's another question in our message of questions. How do we open it up and live it out?
Mm-hmm.
So that our own joy may be complete like Jesus was. How do we lean consistently into the joy that is in us already rather than leaning into that pursuit of elusive happiness someday out there, I'll get what I need?
Yeah.
How do we position ourselves in this world so that our joyful presence becomes a gift to others? The world needs us right now.
Yes.
But if we're stuck in the same morass everybody else is, we're not much use to them. They need our joy. So there's a lot in these questions. And we could spend the rest of the day doing this, but there's a couple of very helpful verses of Scripture that give us some very practical answers to these. And they're from Paul's letter to the Philippians, who had much to worry about if they wished to. But they also had the same capacity for joy. You can sense it in his letter to them. It is a more joyful letter. So Paul encouraged them. What did he say to them? Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And by the way, I don't think he is doing that disparaging, critical kind of tone of voice either. I think he's calling out what he already knew about them.
Yeah.
Keep rejoicing, friends, always. Let your gentleness be evident. See, it's already there. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Which, by the way, was good news, not bad news.
Yes.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which you can't possibly understand, I'm sorry, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, this really matters here. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, fill in the blanks. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things, such things. So what's he saying here? Four quick things. First, respond joyfully to life.
Yep.
Rejoice always. Make rejoicing your instinctive response to whatever is going on, no matter what it is. And to rejoice doesn't mean, it means to simply express the joy that is in you. It doesn't mean that you're happy about the circumstance. It doesn't mean you're exuberant. It doesn't mean that what's happening is good. It does mean that you are tapping into the gift of joy intentionally, acknowledging and allowing it to guide your response. Joy will lie underneath the emotions, no matter what's going on. Rejoice always. Mm-hmm. Second, rest peacefully. Why? Because the Lord is near. God is with us. Emmanuel, God with us.
Yes.
And the story, therefore, is not over yet. We can hold the circumstances of life loosely. We can enjoy a happy moment without needing it to last forever. We can endure a sad moment knowing that it won't last forever. Knowing that, as the poet Rainer Maria Rilke said, no feeling is final. That has given me so much encouragement since I discovered that one. No feeling is final. Feelings flit. They come and go. We'll get through this. Whenever we get triggered, whenever we feel the tug toward anxiety, discouragement, panic, depression, let's heed the Spirit's whisper to tap into the joy that is there beneath those emotions while we experience the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Third, pray gratefully. A joyful life is spent in intimate communion with the joyful one. It is His Spirit in us that gives us joy. I think that's the third time I've said that so far this message. So it is His presence that will show us how to best unwrap that gift and live out the joy that He has given us.
Yeah.
As we spend time with Him, we're going to take on more and more of His character. Just like I said earlier, living with a joyful person might nudge us to be more joyful ourselves. Mm-hmm. One key here is to pray with gratitude, as Paul says, rather than just out of our neediness. Pay attention to your prayers, because we've been taught in our culture to pray for what it is that we want and need. And God says, okay, bring it on. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But pray with thanksgiving, This is something I discovered some years ago. So when I do my prayer time and when I do my journal, I always begin with celebrating the goodness in my life. Yeah. Even if I'm feeling pretty messy or needy or something, before I get around to asking, it's the thankfulness. Because when you start articulating that, you know, it's like, wow, God really has been good to me in all of this. And it's then you move beyond the circumstances, you start tapping into that deeper experience of joy.
Yeah, and as you're talking, I'm wondering if everyone started their Facebook responses saying, thank you for this, or I hear saying something good about the person that in the moment you're not might not be so happy about. Things could turn around. Start with something joyful, something peaceful.
And then in personal reactions, too.
Yeah.
I have a couple of Facebook rules I have imposed upon myself, by the way. One of them is that no whining allowed. If you ever catch me whining on Facebook, you're allowed to, you know, tell me that I broke my rule. If I'm feeling whiny, what I try to do is turn it into humor. And then I can let go of it. If I can laugh about it. So, yeah, some of my humor is because there was a whine at the beginning. The guy has transformed a little bit, but... There's an awful lot of whining going on behind her. Nancy's. Anyway, fourth, live mindfully. In other words, pay attention to what you take into your mind and spirit. Mm-hmm. Be sure that it's good and true and beautiful. That doesn't mean that you ignore the pain and the suffering of the world or people that create problems to you, but what do you take into yourself so that it changes your mood or the way that you live? There's so much ugliness and negativity out there. And if we're not careful, it can lodge in our spirit and rob us of our joy. The joy is already yours, already given to you. Don't let anybody rob it of you. Being mindful recognizes that we get to decide what voices we're going to allow ourselves to be influenced by, what thoughts we would choose to dwell on, and what things we would choose to focus on.
Yeah.
There's an invitation here. Focus on joy.
Yeah.
We see the results of these habits. Well, and joyful people that you know almost inevitably have these habits somewhere in their life.
Yeah.
We see them in the Bible in the teenage Mary. Joanne referred to her earlier. Despite everything that becoming the mother of Jesus would mean to her, instinctively responded with a song of joy. Respond, rejoice always. That's what came out of her when she was found out what was in store for her. Her spirit rejoiced. With joy so overwhelming that it just overflowed from her. And that, by the way, did not mean that the road was going to be easy. And she probably knew this. Mm-hmm. She was unmarried and pregnant in first century Israel. She would get sick. She would be shamed. She might even be cast aside. She could be stoned. And the world that she lived in was even more uncertain than her own. There was an awful lot to worry about. There was an awful lot to be sorrowful about if you wanted to be. Yeah. And they had those emotions. But there in the midst of incredible uncertainty, Mary was certain of one thing. That God was with her.
Yep.
And that God was for her.
Yes.
And that incredible truth caused her spirit to soar with joy. And her gratitude and her worship flowed out of her. She didn't wait to see how it worked out. Everything worked out. She didn't know what all was going to happen in the future. She didn't have to wait for that before she allowed herself to feel joy.
Yes.
She expressed the joy that was already there in her spirit, and she trusted God for the rest. Boy, I'd like to live like that all the time. Mm. I have my moments, and there are more and more of them as I get older, and the more and more I trust. It's a process. But I love that image. She's an encouragement to me. She's an encouragement to us all, isn't she? She's a model for a life of joy in our own time, for God is with us too. Mm-hmm. So here's another question for you. How might your life change if you would express the joy that is already in you, the joy that can rise in you in any and every situation without waiting to see how it all works out? Without it being dependent upon circumstances at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German Lutheran pastor who was imprisoned and executed in a Nazi concentration camp because he actively resisted Hitler's regime. As Christmas 1943 approached, he wrote a letter to his fiancée. And what's interesting is what he didn't know is this was going to be their last Christmas together. Because just a few months later, he was arrested and imprisoned. Christmas 1943, he wrote to his fiancée, Maria, "I think we're going to have an exceptionally good Christmas. The very fact that outward circumstance precludes our making provision for it will show whether we can be content with what's truly essential. I used to be very fond of thinking up and buying presents. But now that we have nothing to give, the gift God gave us in the birth of Christ will seem all the more glorious. The emptier our hands, the better we understand what Luther meant. We are beggars. It's true. The poorer our quarters, the more clearly we perceive that our hearts should be Christ's home on earth." Wow. We sang Amazing Grace earlier. That's Amazing Grace. We're going to have an exceptionally good Christmas. In the midst of terrible, terrible persecution, devastating loss, Bonhoeffer's experienced joy. It's as if he's singing his own Magnificat to God in the presence of his fiancée. What makes Christmas Christmas are not the gifts that we give each other, as lovely as that can be. What makes Christmas Christmas is that even when everything else is stripped away and we have nothing left to give, we have the gift that no one can take from us. Joy unspeakable, flowing unstoppable from the depths of God's unending love for us. That gift can never be taken from us, ever. But we can give it away. I say this all the time. Carla, my daughter-in-law, she knows this. It's like whenever something happens that you begin to feel the tug and you start whining or grumbling or worse. What do I say? Don't let them rob your joy. Do not give your power away. Joy is powerful. I say that to all of you. I say it to myself all the time. I say that all the time. Joanne, don't let them rob your joy. Right? And then the same Peter, who spoke so joyfully on Pentecost with that message that he gave, he spoke about our joyful Redeemer. Also, Peter later said in a time of terrible persecution, he said, "Although you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving right now, not heaven someday. You are receiving in the midst of this terrible persecution, in the midst of this horrible COVID situation, in the midst of it all. Rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls, the transformation of your souls." Oh my yes, because of Jesus, the weary world rejoices, and so do every one of us, with indescribable and glorious joy. So that carol, O Holy Night, it has a name for this. Sweet Hymns of Joy. See, it's no accident, as we sang it earlier, it's no accident that the line immediately following Sweet Hymns of Joy is the most hope-filled declaration of joyful, confident faith. Truly, he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chain shall he break, yes, Hosanna, for the slave is our brother. And in his name, all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. Yes, externally, the circumstances of Christmas 2020 are disappointing in so many ways. The loss is real, and we honor that. Yet in the midst of this less than ideal reality, even though after nearly a year, we still don't know what's yet to come, how about we just go ahead and position ourselves for joy?
Let's sing the song anyway.
Yeah, go ahead. Unwrap and enjoy the gift of indescribable and glorious joy that's already within you. How about we go ahead and sing our own sweet hymns of joy? And how about we all enjoy an exceptionally good Christmas this year? Amen?
Amen.
Let's close. I'm trying to decide whether to have us say this together. Well, it's more of a blessing. So I'll say it to bless all of you and all of you. Be people of joy. Let joy live in your heart and share the joy of Christ with all you meet. Share joy by seeing the good in each other. Share joy by remembering good times and hoping for good times to come. Share joy by praying for our world. In this Advent season, we need to see, feel, and share joy. As you go out now into the wonder of God's creations, share joy, peace, and hope with all those you meet. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's do it.
We have a devotional for you this week. Again, if you're anybody who's doing that, post it to the website. Every week in the Advent season, we've been posting that there for you to be able to use. So it's up.
Yeah. So blessings, joyful people. Amen.